So we're going to talk about being wholehearted. This idea of like, how can you be like all in on something? Like how can you be wholehearted in something? Right from the start of the Bible, right to the end of it. It talks about people that will be all in, sold out. Like will love the Lord with all their heart. We're going to read Matthew 22 later. But I think here's the issue. It's like, we all understand the principle. We should love the Lord with all our heart, mind, body, soul, literally everything. I mean, he should be our whole world. But like, how do you do that on a day-to-day basis? How do you do that when you're facing your battles, when you're going through your struggles, when work is like uncertain, when family's uncertain, when you're like maybe going through a diagnosis, when you're maybe waiting on results in something, or you're just struggling completely in life? So how do you live wholeheartedly? I mean, how do you have joy in every season? How do you praise the Lord in spite of the storm? You know, that song says, I'll still praise you. I'll still praise you. Like, but when it happens, how do you do that? Is that possible? And I want us to go on a journey that allows us to see that through God's word, absolutely, we can be joyful, we can be hopeful, we can be all in with God, we can be him and nothing else, he can fully satisfy, we can be wholehearted, even in the midst of our pain. Could you imagine that? And that's what we're going to explore over these next few weeks. How do we become wholehearted people? How do we literally work out what it looks like to love the Lord with everything we've got? So it's not just a principle, it's not just something we say we do, but it's the way that we live. And that's the journey I want us to go on. Here's what God has. God had a dream. Remember Martin Luther King said he had a dream way back in the 60s. I have a dream. And then he goes into that incredible speech, and I love the speech. But God also had a dream. It was this dream of a perfect heaven and a perfect earth with people made in his image, and we were going to have dominion over the earth, and we're going to multiply and have fun and like do great stuff with God and just be at one with God. And then sin comes, and sin ultimately separates everything. And now we're doing this crazy thing of hiding from God. Can you believe it? We've been made in his image. We know him. But the first thing that Adam and Eve did once they became sinful, or they activated sin, or they brought sin into their lives and they questioned the goodness of God, they started to hide. And I'm concerned and I'm worried that even as Christians, we've become really good at hiding. We've got saved, we know the Lord, but we're not sure how to live this wholehearted lifestyle. How can I be wholehearted in my decisions, in my thoughts, in my actions, in the way that I live? And that's what we're going to go after. God had a dream and he wants to see this dream come alive again. Here's what Ezekiel 11:19 says. I will give you, this is God speaking to his people, Israel, but it's the same as us today. Anybody that's broken, anybody that has said yes to God, or anybody that's not said yes to God, this is what God is speaking over your life, even though it's thousands of years ago in the word of God, it's still relevant today. And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart so they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will be truly my people. And I will be their God. See, God has designed us. Now think about this just for a moment. God's designed we'd have one God, which is him. We would have no other gods, just him. Ten Commandments, the first one is, you'll have no other gods before me, no other idols, no other things. It'll just be me. And then we would be one people. Now, like we love the idea of this, but yeah, I guess you're already struggling going, one people, when we've got race issues, gender issues, life issues, heart issues, love issues, sin issues, tribal issues, I mean, world issues, nation issues. We just got issues everywhere. And the one thing you could say for certain is that we are definitely not one people. We are definitely not one people. Even within church, I guess we're multiple peoples, multiple people groups, which is horrendous and it breaks God's heart. But God has destined us and purposed us to be one people with one God. And look what he decided to do. I will give you a singleness of heart and I'll put a new spirit in you and I will take away your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart so you will obey my decrees and my regulations. Wow, that sounds really good. But it's that stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Wow, Lord, that is what I need. And isn't it amazing how life wants to constantly bring us back to this place? So we step away from our oneness and we try to be loads of things. We get divided and we're thinking about wholeheartedness. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about like, Lord, how do I live a life where I'm undivided? How do I live a life where I just really mean what I say? How do I live a life where I'm not constantly trying to change like a chameleon, defending with every person that comes across my path because I want to be accepted? Lord, how do I get to a place where I only trust in you and you're the one true God? And I'm one in myself and I'm being who you have called me to be. That's the journey we're going on. And I tell you this, when we learn to live as wholehearted people, it is life-changing, it is amazing, and you'll all breathe a sigh of relief and go, ah. Like, how did I make it this far? This is the way I want to live. God is designed for each of us to have a whole heart, so that we're not only, but we're only satisfied by Him, and we don't need everyone or everything else. Psalm 9 verse 1 says this, I will praise you. This is what David said. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I tell all of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. This has been his heart from the start. You will praise me with your whole heart in everything you do, in your community, in your relationships, in your worship, in every aspect of your life. You will worship me with your whole heart, because this is what I've destined you to be, a wholehearted people, a people that's not divided, a people that's certain in their actions, a people that are okay to be themselves because you realize that is okay and I'm okay because God says so. You see, wholeheartedness is living and loving with your whole heart. And that sounds like freedom to me. And how good does that sound? And maybe today you need this afresh in your life. You're like, I need to be wholehearted. I just need to be wholehearted. I was listening, reading just something a few days ago. It was by John Wimber, the guy who set up Vineyard. Maybe you've heard of it. Go check it out. It's a movement of churches that still goes on today. And it started off really small and then just grew all around the world. It's an incredible thing. But John Wimber said this. He used to be a jazz musician. He went to church one day. And on the way in, someone says to him, hey, are you washed in the blood, brother? He was like, oh no, are you one of those guys? I mean, what a strange, crazy statement to ask someone. He goes into church. He's like not fussed on the ritualistic stuff. He's not fussed on the religious stuff. He's not fussed on the way the guy at the door talked differently from when he got into the pulpit to when he prayed. It was like he was three different people. We got to make sure that we're not just changing, that we're wholehearted, that we are who we are because we're comfortable in ourselves and we're comfortable in the way that God has made us. And then he says, but at the end, he heard about the gospel. And the gospel was this, I have come for people that are dead in their sins to make them alive in them, alive in me. And John in that moment says, well, I'm not fussing everything else, but I love that message because I'm so done with me. I want to be who God's called me to be. And in that moment, he gets saved and his life is never the same again. He goes on this incredible journey and he fights for the greater things that God's called us to. He fights for the things that God has brought us to, like the book of Acts, that we're going to raise the dead, cast out demons. We're going to do the things that God has called us to. But God today needs to grab our hearts and say, hey, we need to come to a place where we are not satisfied with living any other way but being wholehearted. I want to be wholehearted for him. I want to be wholehearted in everything that I do, and I want to love God with everything I have, and I'm sick of living a different way. God spoke to me just a few nights ago, this Thursday night. You're going to hear it on Sunday, but Thursday night, middle of the night, this is what he spoke. He just over and over, I kept waking up, I kept going to sleep, kept waking up again. I'm about to break through. I'm about to do something amazing. I'm about to bring breakthrough. I'm about to break something. I just kept hearing those phrases over and over and over and over again. And here's God's heart for us today, is that if you don't allow God to break you and build you, then you're going to get broken and you're going to live on the run for a lifetime, for years, until either God turns your life around or until you sadly pass away. But I want to grab your heart today and say, hey, God wants to break us and build us into those wholehearted people that he's always destined us to be. And is it about time that we just surrendered? Is it about time that we just said, you know what, the game's up. I give up, God. I want you to come and do this in my life. And I'm talking to us as Christians as well. We need God to bring us to that wholehearted place. Okay, so what are we going to face today? And this is really where I want us to go to for a few moments. What are we going to have to face to come into this wholehearted lifestyle? And we're going to get real, really quick. Here's what we're going to have to face up. The big issue of guilt and shame. What do we do with our guilt and shame? If we're going to really go after this wholehearted lifestyle, we've got to realize that at the foundation of all of this is guilt or shame. And if it's not guilt and shame, then it's love. Now, as Christians, we know our foundation should be love. But here's what I've found, and I found it in my life, and you've got to search your life, and you've got to ask the Lord to come and search your life, because it could be the possibility that instead of just pure love as our foundation, and we're trying to live for God, and we're going after God, and we're living wholehearted, but instead what's going on in us is guilt and shame. Now, guilt is, I'm guilty in my own eyes. I'm guilty for my own actions. I shouldn't have done this or that. Now, we understand as Christians, they're taken care of on the cross. But isn't it amazing that suddenly those things can come back again? And suddenly we can go, well, maybe I am still guilty. Maybe I'm not quite free. Maybe I'll never get past this thing. And suddenly guilt turns to regret. And it doesn't matter what way you spell it. It's still the same thing. It still wants to disturb us. It still wants to split us. It still wants to divide us and get us away from a foundation of love that ultimately allows us to live live wholehearted, where we can just be the one person. Where we don't have to be everything to every person. Where we don't have to hide. Where we don't have to be this or that. We just be ourselves before God, and that is more than enough. Guilt. Guilt's how we see ourselves. But guess what shame is? Shame is much sneakier. It's much more underhand. It's how we think other people see us. It's what we get whenever we see someone crossing the road and we're like, oh my gosh, they've still never forgiven me for that. It's that look from somebody and we go to ourselves, oh, look, they're still holding that. I might be forgiven from God. I might have said sorry myself, but I will never be able to get it right in their eyes. And we're so focused on what do we look like in other people's eyes, and it brings us into a place of shame, and it brings us into a place where we will never be free. You see, guilt and shame will always rob us of wholeheartedness. Guilt and shame will always get us to divide. Guilt and shame will always get us to split off and do this and do that and try to find satisfaction in loads of different things, because guilt and shame will rob us of our destiny in God, which is I'm fully loved and I live in a wholehearted place. Guilt and shame. Here, let me give you a couple of verses today just to encourage your heart. Romans 10:11 says this, everyone believes in him. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You see, here's what you cannot control. You cannot control after you've done something how someone will react. That's out of your control. But what you can control is how you feel about yourself and how you let that go, how you allow God to deal with it in your heart. And so you're no longer focused and worried about how they see you. In fact, if they never see you the way that you are right now, and they always see you for the stinking rotten sinner that you used to be, or the horrible things that you did do, and that's fact, well, that's their problem. It's not yours any longer, because God has set you free from shame. And this is what Romans 10:11 says. Everyone who believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. God is literally setting us free from our opinion of ourselves in other people's eyes. That is incredible. That is life-changing, because so many of us battle that one. So many of us go through that and go, well, hey, I can forgive myself. God can forgive me, but I'll never be forgiven by them. Here's what I'll say to you. So what? So what? If you can deal with how you feel and what you think they think about you, and you can deal with that and allow that to go to the cross and allow the Lord to transform you from that and allow that to come off your heart, you will say, so what if they never change their opinion on you? Because God knows and I know, and I'm set free from what that person thinks about me. And I don't even really care if they look at me funny. I don't even really care if they avoid me. I don't even really care if they unfriend me on Facebook, because I've dealt with that. I've said sorry. I've asked for forgiveness. I've received forgiveness, and I've dealt with the issue with God, and it's been taken care of, and that's complete freedom. Here's what Romans 8 tells us. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So even guilt. I mean, again, we'll go back to regret. I mean, you have guilt, you bring it before God, he deals with it, but isn't it sneaky how then life brings things up again, and you go, well, I should have been smarter. You know what? If I hadn't have been there, that wouldn't have happened. And we start to live in regret. And instead of being guilt now, we rename it and we call it regret. And anybody that's living regret is still living in shame and guilt. Anybody that's just going around the houses with regrets, like, I should have been smarter, I shouldn't have said this, I should have knew better, I should have done this, I should have done that. Can I tell you, hindsight is perfect. It's 2020. You know exactly what you wouldn't do. I have a firm belief that all of us know when we're doing wrong. We either don't want to accept it, or we don't like it, or we choose not to believe it, but I think we know it. And you know when you've done wrong. And here's the thing with God, and here's the thing with his goodness and his kindness and his mercy, is that when you repent and you give it to God, you're no longer the owner of it any longer. You're no longer the owner of that action. Can I tell you that? The action you made, the thought you had, the mistakes you said, all of those things, when you give them to Christ, you are no longer the owner. You give up your right to it and you give it to him, because you cast all your cares on him. Now you don't have any legal right to it any longer. He has set you free. Are we getting the point today? Because if we live in regret, if we live in guilt, if we live in shame, if we live in our sin, if we live in all those things and we live in the past, we will never step into the wholehearted lifestyle that God has for us and won for us. And we need to love him with our whole hearts. It's the only way to live. It's the only way to go before God. See, God already knows all things. And this is what's so important. And we need this to shine in our hearts. God already knows all things. But we have to get to a place where we stop refusing to believe that we're forgiven and we start accepting it. I am forgiven. I am fully accepted. God has done all that needs to be done for me. I've said sorry over that. I've truly repented over that. I am now free. I'm a free man or a free woman, whatever you happen to be. You are free from that because I've given it to God. See, the truth is, and I think this is so important, and this is where life gets real and where it can transform and change everything. We are in this mess together. Amen. We're in this together. You see, what life wants us to do is that we start picking holes in ourselves. And if I could only be like him, if I could only be like her, then I'd be better. Hey, our war is not against each other. It's not like I want to be better than her. I want to stomp over her. I want to stomp over him. I want to climb on her. I mean, if she would be better than me, then I'll be this and I'll be... It's not that. It's not a war against each other. It's literally, if we could get together, we could war against everything else. We could overcome. We could win. We could do this thing. Our strength is in our togetherness in Christ. We are one body in him. We are one body in him. And so even within the church, we've got to be mindful that we're not out to counsel someone, you know, get one up on someone, not putting somebody else's down for our advantage or our benefit. No, if you went through that method, we all lose. But if we come together, we realize we're all messes, like everybody in the room, if you're with us on Sunday, we're all messes. If you're on right now, everybody's watching right now. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. But if we could come together and win together and overcome together, man, we win in every turn. We win in every turn. The enemy wants to kill Steve. And divide. He wants to kill, steal, and rob us of our togetherness. But our battles will be won together. They'll be won and overcome together as we trust the Lord. Amen? So here's some dark paths. I wrote it down. We got to get to this because otherwise we're not going to get the freedom that we need. We got to get real with the sin. We got to get real with the paths that life wants to take us down that's robbing us from wholeheartedness so we can do U-turns and come back and go the other way. Number one is this. Unrealistic goals and life expectations. If we are going to hold on to unrealistic goals and life expectations that is only be this way, it has to work like ABC, and if it doesn't work out like this, my whole life is a mess. We need to get over that. That is going to rob us of our wholehearted life. It's going to rob us because guess what? You're going to find out life is messed up. The way you've done things is messed up at times, and then you're going to say, God, can you help me? And he will restart you spiritually, but he doesn't take you all the way back to the start. So we have to learn to get over those things and go, hey, my life's going to be okay, and from this point forward, I'm going to trust him, and he's going to make a way. We've got to get away from unrealistic goals and life expectations. Number two, never dealing with your past. Here's how we deal with our past. We bring it before God. We leave it with God. We get his forgiveness. We repent and we move forward successfully. Amen? That's what we need to do. And if you've never done that, you need to do it. Number three, fighting to be more accepted. We should not be in a game of fighting every day to be accepted. Well, I've got to be this here. I've got to be that. I'm going back to uni soon. Oh my goodness, I've got to get ready for that. I've got to talk differently, act differently, dress differently. We got to get out of this game of fighting to be accepted. If we know Christ, we are fully accepted in him. And when we realize that, we're like, wow, I don't have to be everything to everyone. I can just be me. Number four, idolizing other people's lives. We already said it. Commandment number one is have no other gods before me. I am your only thing. I'm your only one. Idols come in every form. Watch how social media is not creating in us an idolistic mindset. It's like, oh, I gotta be like her, gotta be like him, gotta have what he has, gotta have this. And we start to form all these different idols. And so I'm gonna go to the gym. And I'm not really going to the gym because I want to get healthy. I just want to look good. I want my photos to look better on Instagram. I want my life to look better on this. So I'm gonna drive here, drive there, gonna get it just the right angle. And there's nothing wrong with taking nice photos, but what are we doing it for? We can't idolize being accepted and idolize other people because otherwise we're going to die the comparison game because you cannot be like anybody else. And guess what? They can't be like you. Number five, the pursuit of perfection. This is going to kill your life. It's like, I ain't going to have a perfect life. I ain't going to have a perfect family. I ain't going to have perfect kids. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how many blogs you read. Doesn't matter how many books you read. You're messed up. And but for Christ, what have we got? We need his grace. And so guess what? Everybody else is the same. So stop pretending to get perfectionism so you can look better than somebody else. Start realizing that if we come together and we love each other, encourage each other, we will win together. We will overcome together. So I'm going to give up this pursuit of perfectionism. I'll find it in Christ and that's all that I need. Never feeling good enough. Let's just nail this one right now. There's no one ever been good and there'll no one ever will be good outside of Christ. It's just not possible. We can only be good in him because guess what? Every action that I take, there's always a hidden agenda. There's always a hidden motive. There's always something going on with it. So I've got to fully surrender to Christ and allow his goodness to become my goodness. In other words, I no longer live. So I'm not looking to try to feel good all the time. I don't need to feel good through music. I don't need to feel good through this. I don't need to feel good through that. I have all that I need in Christ. Wow. It's going to set us free. So we can be one person with one God. That's all that we need. He fully satisfies me. Give you one more and then we're going to move on. We could go all night. Never accepting who we are. Never accepting who we are. We've got to accept who we are. This is one of the most important rules of life. Accept the life you've been dealt. Accept the family you're in. Accept the lifestyle you've got. Just accept what's going on and then move on. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live this way or that way. But you got to accept this is where I'm at and I'm going to move forward in God. I am going to move forward in Him and He's going to bring transformation. Here's what I found. Suddenly, instead of being driven by whole hearts, these things will start to drive you. And guess where you end up? Split. It's like literally 10 different roads. How can you live like that? Is it any wonder we're burnt out and exhausted? This is what drives you. If it's not whole heart, we're going this way. I'm just going God's way. He is fully supplying all my needs. Then I'm trying to go 10 different ways and my life is exhausted and I'm exhausted. And here's the end result. I'll keep up a good pretense to everybody else, but really I don't want to get out of bed most days. I'm happy to stay in my own space, and just when I feel really, really good, that's when I'll go out. Guess what that is? A recipe for disaster, which will ultimately lead to depression, which could lead to suicide. It's like, that's the goal of the enemy. We've got to get back to wholehearted living. We've got to get back to wholehearted before God, because He fully knows who we are anyway. And so we've got to accept ourselves and be okay that we are more than enough in front of everybody else. And I'm not going to live in shame in terms of what I feel other people see in me. I'm going to live in wholeness and fruitfulness and love and security and His blessing and His goodness, because I really don't care what anybody else says about me as long as I'm living the right ways before Christ. I only care about Him. Here's what happens when these things start to drive you. Here's how messed up our thinking can get. I must do more. I must do more, because if I don't do more, where am I going to get my self-worth and my value from? I've got to do more. So staying busy becomes good, but I'm always behind and I'm always divided. I'm always behind. It's like, I can never get enough sleep. I've got no time to sleep because really successful people don't sleep. So I'm not going to eat much. I'm not going to sleep much. I'm just going to keep going. That's a recipe for burnout every single day. Live exhausted seems good, doesn't it? I mean, this is what we do sometimes. I'm going to live exhausted because you know what? At least when I'm exhausted, I feel content. I got 20 million things done today. I'm totally burned out. I'm so burned out, I can't even sleep. But at least I got a whole bunch of things done. I mean, this must be good. No, it's not good. Again, it's going to lead us to a place of continuous burnout where we can't even get up the next day or the next week because we're just so exhausted. We're just so broken. I read this week. I love this kind of comment. It says, the antidote for exhaustion is not rest. The antidote for exhaustion is not rest. You would think when you're exhausted, if I could just rest enough, if I could just take a week's holidays. No, it's not going to do anything, because it's your lifestyle that's driven you to exhaustion. It's this pursuit of, I've got to do 10 million things every day to feel content, to feel satisfied, to feel happy, because I'm split in so many different directions. I have no clue what it is to be wholehearted or of one mind and one soul and one body, loving one God. I'm like 20 million things to 20 million different people, and I'm trying to get a wee bit of this from everyone in the hope that I could feel something. And here's the truth. Exhaustion, if you've got that kind of exhaustion that's going on in your life, rest will not do anything. All it will do is avoid. And it will give you that rest that you need, you so desperately need, but it won't fix anything. Guess what's the antidote for exhaustion? Wholeheartedness. To get away from the 20 million things and start to become that one person that God has intended us to be. Wow, that's the answer. Couple more quickly. Being numb. See, being numb feels like the answer. I know so many people that have done this. I've in the past done exactly the same thing. Man, I'm just going to be numb to my feelings. I'm going to be numb to that issue. I'm going to be numb to this. I'm going to be numb to that. Here's what numbness does. You cannot control it. It's like fire. Anytime it gets out of the fireplace, you cannot control it. Numbness starts to affect not just your bad moods, but your good moods. So you're no longer happy in anything. You're no longer satisfied. You're no longer joyful. It affects every single area. And you're not a nice person to be around, which just put you in even more of a downward spiral, which means you feel you have to be even more divided to more people. We've got to get back to oneness. We've got to get back so we're not that divided people. See, dividing ourselves seems like it's a good idea, but now we're all over the place. Now we're all over. So what do we do? Here, let me give you a few. We've got to stop worrying. about what others think. We're saying it over and over and over again. Got to stop worrying what other people think. What does God say? He says that you're wonderful. I thought about you before time ever began. I thought about you before you even a thought in your mom's mind, before you're even a reality in your mom's tummy. I planned your life. I thought about your life. I have blessed your life. I have created life for you. I have a plan for your life. I've written books in heaven, says the Lord, that have all the days of your life planned out, and yet I still give you free will because I love you and I died for you and you're precious and I love you. And while you're yet a sinner, I still died for you. See, God loves you. We've got to understand that He is all that we need. And when we have that sort of acceptance, I don't need anything else. We've got to stop judging ourselves. I am so fed up with people being so judgmental against themselves. Can I tell you the truth? There is only one judge, which is God. He's the only judge that's worth going to. And when we went to Him, and when we go to Him on the day of our death, when we go from this life to the next life, guess what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come out and go, I've already paid the price for them. And so when the judge, who's a good judge, which is God, goes to drop the hammer to say guilty or not guilty, he's going to have to say not guilty. He's going to have to say innocent, because we've been washed in the blood of Christ, if you know Him. If you've not, then you need to get right with God and you need to put your life right with Him. But we've got to stop judging ourselves, and we've got to eradicate that statement that says, I'm my own worst critic. That's just crazy. Stop getting a comfort in that and throw it out, because it's killing your life. Number three, stop hiding. We've got to stop hiding. As Christians, again, we can become professional critics, but we're also professional hiders. We know how to hide every day of the week. Know how to hide behind verses. Know how to hide behind prayer times. Oh, I'm just asking for somebody else. Yeah, I'm asking for a friend. We know how to hide behind prayer requests. We know how to hide behind everything. And God says, I died so you didn't have to hide. I came so we could take away sin, because sin's what caused you to hide. I want you to live whole before me and before men and before women and before life and before everybody, because you've got nothing to hide. I have done everything for you. I've nailed all your sins to the cross, so none of your sins can shame you. It's not a license to live in sin, but it's just telling us even when we do sin, it's already been taken care of. Get your head around that. The goodness of our God has already nailed every sin that we will ever conceive, past, present, and future. He's already taken care of it on the cross, so we can stop hiding. Wow, I can stop hiding. We can stop looking for acceptance outside of Christ. He's the only one that gives it to me. We can stop trying to do it all ourselves. Can you stop? Can we stop trying to do everything by ourselves? Because help is critical. If we're going to live wholehearted, we've got to learn to allow the body to help us. You see, our bodies physically are self-healing, but it's the same spiritually. The body of Christ is self-healing. But when you're trying to do everything to yourself, guess what? You're going down that divided route again. I've got to be doctor. I've got to be savior. I've got to be kind mom. I've got to be kind dad. I've got to be everything, because I got to do everything for me. No, we've got to stop dividing ourselves, and we've got to stop trying to do it all ourselves. Seek help and stop trying to find a perfect life. It doesn't exist. We're going to go to a perfect life, but the one you've got right now will never be perfect. It's perfect in Christ when you stay with Him, but you got to stay with Him and allow Him to lead, not you. Final thought on this, and then we're going to go to our final point, and we're nearly done, is compassion. See, here's what I believe. If we're really going to get into this wholehearted, if we're really going to trust ourselves and give our lives to God and say, okay, I'm going to believe this and I'm going to walk forward in this wholehearted life, guess what we need? We need compassion. We need to know the compassion of Jesus so we can apply that compassion to ourselves, so that we can see that compassion move through us to everybody else. We are too hard towards ourselves. We do not allow the compassion of Jesus to come through us each and every day, and that's what we need. We need to be able to go, enough is enough, and I am enough because Christ is enough. And this is a breakthrough moment for all of us today. We are enough. You are enough. In spite of all that you're going through, in spite of all that you face and all that you will face, you are enough. If you're in Christ, He is enough, and His enough is more than enough. In fact, it's overflowing. It's never ending. It's like, even when you're the bottom, you're the top. It's even when you're the last, you're the first. It's even when you're feeling pressed down on every side, He's still causing you to overcome. See, God is with you, and that makes all the difference. And He says, I want you to be wholehearted. So how do we live wholehearted? Let me read Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Here's all I want to say, because we know this scripture upside down, back to front. If you don't know it yet, you'll come to know it over and over again, because Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. You can summarize all 10 into this one, and then the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. But here's what I want to say to us today, is that we should not settle for any other less life than this, than to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Anything less is distorting our purpose and our future. We've been made to live like this. This is the way we're designed to live. This is not one of those ones where you go, oh, well, that's all well and good, and maybe a few people will hit it, but most people won't. No, he promises that his grace is sufficient, and what he says, he can do. So if we will submit our lives to him, and accept Jesus into our lives, and if we are followers of Christ, this is the way we will live. You shall love the Lord. It's not a one where like, I'll force you. It's like, no, automatically, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with your mind, because we're called of God, because he sustains us, because we've surrendered our lives to him, because he enables me, and his grace is sufficient. That's completely life-changing. It's completely life-changing. Now, here is our part. And this is the way that we've got to, by faith, live our lives every single day. If we are going to live the life that God has called us to, and we're going to be those wholehearted people that he has promised we can be, and I hope by now you're going, this is what I want. I want to be wholehearted, Lord. I don't want to be split all over the place. I don't want to have to try and get a like from a bit of love from a like. I don't want to have to try and get a bit of sustenance from a comment. I don't want to be set in the turmoil of no one likes my page within 2 hours or whatever it would be, or my photo. I want to have more than enough. And you, I just want to be free. If that's you today, here's how you're going to step into this every single day. Vulnerability and surrender. Vulnerability and surrender. Now think about this. When we came to Christ, guess what happened? If you haven't, well, this is what happened to all of us. Maybe you're going to come to him today, or maybe you're going to come to him very shortly. You get to a place where you realize, I am no good. And you become super vulnerable before God. And you go, I am a hopeless mess, Lord. I am no good. You probably are crying. You probably come to this realization of your worthlessness and your hopelessness. And you pour out everything to God. And you say, God, I surrender everything. And I want you to come and take this mess of me. And I want you to transform me. And you do that. And in that moment, guess what happens? Suddenly you become enough. But guess what happened? That vulnerability and that surrender led you to a new life in Christ. And suddenly your life was forever changed. Now here's what we got to learn to live like. We got to learn to live in that surrender and vulnerability every single day. Not because we want to get beat up every day, but because I always want to live in the place of I am fully supplied by him. I am more than enough in him. I have died, but I'm alive in him. My life is hidden in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I'm no good on my own. That's why I came to Jesus. I didn't come to Jesus to get something and then go on my merry way. That is not the goal of Christian faith. It's I've come to die and I will no longer live. It will only be him in me. Wow. And if I do that, my vulnerability, my surrender will lead me to wholehearted living, and my life will no longer be the same. Let's read John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is really real. He goes in me, you can do everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not because that I don't want you to do that, but because this is the way it works. I mean, everybody else out there can't do anything for you. Your needs can only be met through me, fully satisfied. The enemy's only coming to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm the only one, but I'm the best one. I'm not the last option. I'm the first resort because I'm incredible. It's the way I always planned it anyway. I've just had to get you through a different direction because of what sin had done. We were always meant to live with one God and one us. We were never meant to live any other way. This is not second class life. This is first class life. This is every single day, even in my battles, even in my brokenness, even when I'm going through the trials, even when I'm not getting the report I want from the doctor, I am still wholehearted in God. I am still fully alive in him because I am hidden in Christ. And in him, John 15:5, I will bear much fruit. We cannot be half connected to Jesus. You cannot be married to one person and living with the next. It's not a good idea if you're doing that quick. Get help. It's just not a good idea. And Jesus is a relationship. You cannot be half-hearted with him. It's never going to work like that. You've got to be fully in with him. Our relationship with God demands our whole hearts. In return, he promises to give us a whole life. Wow. What a wonderful Savior. Here's Matthew 16, 25, last verse we're going to read. For if you will choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Wow. If we would self-sacrifice, if we would choose to give up our lives for my glory, for Jesus' glory, we will continually discover true life. Wow. Every day, wholeheartedness. Every day, even though I might need a fresh top of goodness and mercy, he promises he'll give it to me. Every day, he's constantly praying for me. Every day, he's constantly filling me. Every day, he's giving me more than enough. Every day, he's giving me more than I need because he wants to work through me. And my wholeheartedness comes from him, but my wholeheartedness will bless the people around me. And suddenly now I'm being a help to people instead of a hindrance. Suddenly now I don't need anything from someone. I'm giving it to them. I am there for them. And I'm living wholehearted in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my brokenness at times, in the midst of my struggles, in the midst of my good, in the midst of my bad, I'm still living wholehearted. Think about Jesus as we thought about it last week. On the all the way to the cross, he was still wholehearted in God. All the way on the cross, he could have went to plan B, plan C, plan D. He could have done all of these different things, but he stuck to plan A because he said, all I need is God. He's told me, this is my plan. This is the plan for my life. I'll be satisfied in this. I trust God. I may not understand it. I may wish it was easier. I may wish I could get out of it. But I trust God because I trust him with my life. I'm wholehearted. I don't need anybody else. I don't want anybody else. I'm wholehearted in him. What if we could trust God? Be real, the real us. Be courageous and vulnerable at the same time. Don't have to be one or the other, but at the same time. And we could stop being so divided that we could become the real us with a whole heart. If you're ready to get help, it's time to pray. And this is what we're going to pray today, just like David prayed way back in Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Are you ready to have an undivided heart? This is what we're going to pray. Lord, I pray today for anyone that's got a divided heart. I pray today, Lord, that for anyone who has never given their lives to you, you've never placed your life in Jesus' hands. You've never accepted his sacrifice. You've never asked for his forgiveness, and you've never repented to him. Lord, I pray right now that they would say yes to you, and you would take that undivided heart, that stony, stubborn, broken, insecure heart, and you would replace it with a fleshy, real heart that's capable of love and capable of compassion. Lord, I pray today for us as Christians. I pray right now, Lord, that we would encounter a real God. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would encounter us in a fresh way. And Lord, we would get an undivided heart, which is what we truly desire, but maybe we've lost along the way. Lord, I pray against the rat race of life. I pray against the programming of life. I pray against the thoughts of life that says, I must do this or I can't do that. I have to do this. And Lord, I pray today for complete surrender, sweet surrender, incredible vulnerability, because vulnerability is our key to living wholehearted, not just with you, God, but with people around us. God, teach us your ways. Let us surrender our lives afresh. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now you would encounter us. And right now, Jesus, we would never be the same. In your precious name, amen.